You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Welcome to a really weird year, if you didn't know it already. For those of us who have to deal with liturgy and keep track of the liturgical calendar, this day only happens once every 7 or 11 years. I don't know actually how often it does happen, but it's the Sunday that is after Thanksgiving, but is not yet Advent yet, right? So we're kind of in between. It's kind of like a follow-up Thanksgiving Sunday. So we have a little bit of a breather before the rush of Advent starts next Sunday. So to that end, let me ask you, now that Thanksgiving is over, how are you feeling about your preparations for Christmas? Good? You got it all covered? Is anything missing? Should anything change? I think it's okay to change things up, because sometimes we can kind of go awry on the way we do celebrations and the way we collectively as a culture do things during the holidays. I don't know if you remember this slide or this ad. Remember that? Lucky's, a light smoke. Remember? What could be wrong with smoking when Santa is smoking, right? How many packs does he take in the sleigh, right? Can you imagine anything like this being out there today? Mainly because these kind of ads are now banned by law. But back in the day, you know, we were free to use all kinds of symbols in ways that might not necessarily be healthy, literally, physically, or spiritually, or culturally, or any other way. What's missing from this ad? Can you look really carefully? What's missing? There's no warning label. Right? Right? Part of the getting rid of these ads also included the restriction on where cigarette ads could appear. Also, it included not being able to use images like Santa or animals or anything like that to promote cigarettes, because kids would think it was cool. But it also included a warning label. First, they were cigarette packages, right? Then you might have seen them on diet soda cans, right? Now they're on everything, right? They're on baby strollers. Look on your automobile sun visor, right? Your sun visor can kill you, right? And that's what the lawyers have said. You know, the automobile manufacturers have to put on the visor. So yes, things can get a little excessive. One year, my youngest son went as Superman for Halloween. And I kid you not, there was a cautionary label on the costume that said, "Warning, cape does not enable user to fly." All I'm saying is that maybe, just maybe, the holidays could use a warning label, right? Because holidays could and can be hazardous. I mean, we get all caught up in excessive decorating and excessive shopping, holiday activities that are what retailers depend on for them to have a happy holiday. And they do everything they can to convince you and me that when they're happy, you're happy. And I apologize to anyone here who depends on retail to make a living. But I just need to be honest here and say, I've got a different product to promote than you, right? So if we listen to the psalmist, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your path, in your truth, and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." To get through the season to come, I think we all need that kind of advice rattling around in our head. I think we need a little bit of assistance. The psalmist suggests that we simplify our lives by buying everything from Amazon Smile. No, not really. The psalmist suggests that we simplify our lives by focusing on stuff like steadfast love, faithfulness, and keeping covenant with the divine. But that's sometimes really hard for us to figure out how that, you know, what that looks like in modern life, because we've got challenges in this modern life. Have you ever heard of the Life Change Index? Life Change Index, anybody? It's an index that assigns a numerical value to the amount of stress that various life events bring. For any one event, 100 would be the maximum amount of stress, with 0 being the indication that there is no stress at all. Now, the researchers claim that within a one-year period, if you accumulate 300 total stress points, that you are likely to experience negative changes in your health. Let me give you some examples. The death of a spouse yields 100 points on the stress scale. While you might disagree, divorce only has 73 points. Marital separation is a 65-pointer. Personal injury or illness, 53 points. Being fired, 47 points. Getting married, 932 points. No, getting married is 50 points, right? Gaining a new family member, it doesn't say whether you like this family member or not, is 39 points. But on this scale, they literally have Christmas, which comes in at a measly 12 points, right? I think it should be up there near divorce, I think, but at least for clergy. So we need to slap on a warning label, right? Because Christmas is stress-inducing. But first, what is the cause of all of this pre-Christmas chaos? It's not just commercialization. Christmas has also been sucked into the political fray, because soon, if it has not already begun, we're going to be hearing about the so-called war on Christmas. Bum, bum, bum! You know, and I just am tired of these pious and ill-informed blowhards insisting that we say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, and acknowledging that, guess what? There are lots of different people that live in this country. And maybe it might be nice to acknowledge that. Technically, also, if you want to be Christian about it, I don't know. The Christmas season does not actually begin until when? December 25th, thank you very much. And it goes till when? Epiphany, 12 days later, on January 6th, right? That's where we get the 12 days of Christmas, right? And we've really gotten this backwards, where we celebrate Christmas before the event instead of during the actual Christmas season. And it's futile, but I really I admire people trying to push back against stores that are now putting Christmas decorations out after the 4th of July, yes? I have Catholic friends who refuse to, they will not, on principle, say Merry Christmas until December 24th, right? They don't put up their tree until Christmas Eve. In a column last year, my friend Diana Butler Bass pledged, whenever possible, to remind aggressive and politically motivated wishers of Merry Christmas that it's only Advent. And they're being really lousy Christians to insist on saying Merry Christmas. You should be saying Happy Advent. Please don't give in to the commercialization of the holiday when you are using Merry Christmas too soon. So, you think this is something new? No. The commercialization of Christmas has been going on forever. In fact, back in the day, before Christmas was a thing, we had what was called Roman Saturnalia. And that was a time of uncontrolled feasting and drunkenness and frolicking. And in the 4th century, the Christian church wanted to blend in with the Roman culture. And so they chose this riotous holiday for the official celebration of Jesus' birth. Why? Because nobody really knows when Jesus was born. Nobody has a clue. But Saturnalia is celebrated on the winter solstice. And symbolically, it's a great day to celebrate the birth of someone who's called the light of the world. Because on the solstice, that's the, you know, the end of the darkest, longest night. And all of a sudden, the light starts to come back and proves that darkness is not going to win in the end, right? I mean, it's brilliant. That's why we celebrate Christmas when we do. But in the 17th century, there was a Puritan minister named Cotton Mather. Did you ever remember reading anything about Cotton Mather? Cotton Mather was someone who railed against the celebration of Christmas in Puritan New England because people were getting carried away. And this is what he wrote, or this is what he preached. He said, "Shall it be said that at the birth of our Savior, we take the time to do actions that have much more of hell than of heaven in them?" Right? I mean, a lot of energy. Mather was raising a basic question about unholy gods, with a small g, taking over Christmas. Greed under the guise of generosity. Subsequently, laws were passed in Puritan New England against celebrating Christmas. Right? So here we go from Thanksgiving, idolizing the Puritans, how wonderful they were. And now, right, they were soon after to ban Christmas, essentially, as we know it. Incidentally, Mather had such an incredibly visceral, vehement, angry reputation that even Marvel Comics picked up on it. And I kid you not, they converted Cotton Mather into a supervillain. And if you don't believe me, check out the series of comics, got rid of Saturnalia altogether, and introduced Cotton Mather. "And who dares to serve Mather's prayers? Who would be such a fool?" I mean, this is great. He was in league with Dr. Doom, among other people, you know? So see if you can find, I'd love to have a copy of one of those if you can track one down, where Cotton Mather is a supervillain. Look, there are lots of ways to avoid the hazards of the holidays. Number one, are you ready with your pencil? Here we go. Number one, talk with your family and decide ahead of time what everyone's expectations are, right? You can be upfront about that. What are your expectations? And number two, then be intentional about reflecting some thought to giving other than just accumulating more stuff. How many of us here need more stuff, right? We don't need more. Well, okay, yeah, you need more stuff. I get it. When you get to my age, you're trying to get rid of it, right? So, case in point for me, one of the best Christmas gifts that I've ever received was a goat. A goat. No kidding. It was great. And the best part is that I don't have to feed it. I don't have to milk it. I don't have to clean up after it. Because a friend gave me a goat that just happens to live somewhere in Central America. Right? And it's through Heifer Project. And to this day, my goat is providing daily milk and annual baby goats to a family on the edge of poverty. Now, Heifer Project International, you might not know this, but it actually grew out of the United Methodist Church in Arkansas. And if you're ever going to Arkansas, talk to me. I can send you to the headquarters there where they, you know, all got started. It provides livestock and training to families in more than 40 different countries. In the early days of Heifer Project, in fact, our own Austin Holcher, there he is, Austin, there he is right back there, was part of a team that flew 42 cows from the U.S. to Bolivia. Pregnant cows. And the freight company didn't want to handle the cows, so who do you get? Austin Holcher, right? And so 41 of them made it, right? 41. And so this is something that, you know, Heifer has now got kind of local places in all these different countries to raise the animals so they don't have to fly animals all over creation. But that's the way they got started. And to this day, double checked on the website, the prices are still killer good. You can get a flock of chicks for someone for $20, right? Who wouldn't want to get a flock of chicks that you don't have to care for Christmas, right? You can get a trio of rabbits for $60. One male, two females. Do I need to go into the reason? Right? Okay. But don't tell, if you give the rabbits to children, don't tell them what they're going to do with the rabbits, right? You can get a sheep, a goat, or a pig for $120. You can sponsor an alpaca, right? For $150. Your daughter wants an alpaca, right? That she doesn't have to feed or anything, right? So, or you can get a mating pair of cattle for $1,000 if you're feeling generous, okay? Tell me, does that beat another fruit basket? Right? It does something really positive in the world. And United Methodists have been on the forefront of these alternative gift-giving ideas. UMOM cards have been available where you can, for a friend, you can purchase a night or a week or a month at the New Day Center for a homeless family. And you can slide that card into your Christmas card and say, hey, I've given you a night for a homeless family at UMOM. It's awesome. We've already done so many things here with the Sidewalk Sunday School, helping with Wesley Center with families there. But even more than just, you know, giving to people outside of our families, think about how you can do this same kind of thing with your own family. You may have heard of $100 holidays, in which families promise to spend no more than $100 on Christmas, or whatever figure you arrive at, right? My kids will agree to $100 per stocking, I think. I don't know. But whatever you guys figure out, pick a number and don't go above that. It's an act, intentional act, that leverages simpler, more personalized, and often handmade gifts. Methodist activist and environmentalist, he's become really big in the news of late, Bill McKibben actually started this program. He spearheaded it in upstate New York, and it's now spread nationwide, although retailers surely wish it would die a quick death. McKibben's ideas for the simple gift of time, I think, is something we need to use. Baking a pie, recording a song, whittling a walking stick, or visiting someone that is confined to home or a care facility. Now, my family gives a lot of personalized coupons, and you can redeem them for time and activities together. Family members can exchange the coupon for a night out at dinner, maybe a movie together, babysitting, house painting, a trip to the zoo or to a museum. And I know we have probably all received an ill-fitting, poorly made sweater, not made by anyone in our crocheting group. And that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the intention. It is about claiming what you do well, what you're known for, what you're good at. And that is something you can offer to people. And giving those kinds of gifts are imbued with meaning. Think about the Christmas stories. Luke's shepherds came simply to be in the presence of the child, right? They just came to be there. The wise men, now they brought gifts, but they were gifts that only crusty theologians would think of, because they were symbolically foreshadowing all the events in Jesus' life. And I'm sure that Mary was just thrilled to receive spices used to bury dead people at her baby shower, right? That's what they brought. You've heard what would happen if it would have been three wise women instead of three wise men, right? They would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. Yeah. Right? I'm telling you, think about this. Stable cleaning beats frankincense and myrrh in my book anytime, right? So that's why the stream of thought for today is, may our Christmas reflect presence and not just presence, right? Can you take that with you? How can you be reflecting your presence rather than your presence? Sister Miriam Therese Winter tells that the number of women in prison has more than tripled over the last few years. And she relates the story of a chaplain that she knows who responded, not unlike what we've done with Sidewalk Sunday School and Wesley, that responded by organizing gifts for the children of women who were in prison. She let her family know that when Christmas came, they should not expect extravagant gifts this year, right? She told them up front, was intentional about it. But far from feeling gypped, her whole family wanted to chip in. And so the chaplain found out everything possible about the children of these women, got appropriate, simple gifts, wrapped them, and mailed them. And when the gifts were delivered by mail and the kids opened them, they simply said, "Love, Mom." That's it. Now, of course, it's tough to put limits on Santa when you have grade school children or grandchildren. And in many instances, it's the desire to be good parents or grandparents that lures us into holiday excess. But even the jolly old elf himself can be seen as an illustration of Christmas grace, that he always gives us more than we truly deserve. But intentional limit setting, alternative gifts, outreach to neighbors, all of those help reduce the risk of holiday hazards and prepare us much better for the spiritual part of what Christmas is about. The presence of the Spirit calls us to do our small part to recall what the season is all about. Not excess, not consumerism, but giving of who we are. So, we may not want to be as extreme as Cotton Mather, but we can still do well to, in our own minds, plaster a warning label over this entire season and see how it's going to affect the way we go about practicing our Christmases. And if we're careful with our time and our resources in the days to come, and we focus less on acquisitions than on giving of who we are, we might be able to take individually and collectively a step towards celebrating the season in a way that's consistent, not with what the culture wants, but with our deepest yearnings about what we long for and what the world is hungry for. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.